It is really good once again to be able to have the opportunity to be together with you. I am so thankful for the opportunity that has been presented to me to be with you. I love going to new places and meeting new people. I love the connections that we're able to make with people that we both know. It's amazing how that you can come to a place so far away from home for the very first time and then start talking about people who have intersected our lives, and usually they're just one, maybe two steps away, and we already have something to talk about, something in common. And that's just a joy. That's one of the greatest joys of my life, to be able to go different places, talk to different people, and especially to talk about the gospel. And I appreciate the purpose for which you have come together tonight to talk with us about the Word of God, to open our Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And I hope and I pray that as we talk about these things this evening that we'll be blessed by it. I believe we will. If we'll just read and study these things very deeply, I think there's a lot of things to be gained by that. We can be made stronger Christians, and by that attract other people to the Christ of Calvary. There are nine virtues that are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, that we call the fruit of the Spirit. And these are easily organized into three different categories. First of all, there is love, joy, and peace that relate primarily, though not exclusively, to man's relationship with God. Love, of course, because love is from God. Joy, because God is the source of joy and we can rejoice in Him. And peace, because there would be no peace but for God. And He provides us a peace that surpasses all comprehension. The second three of these virtues are virtues that talk about our relationship primarily with other people, such as patience and kindness and goodness. We're going to be talking about patience tonight. We're going to skip over, though I hate to do it with every fiber of my being, we're going to skip over the idea of kindness and then talk about goodness tomorrow night, the Lord willing. But these are traits that relate us with other people primarily. And then the final three are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these relate kind of uniquely to ourselves. Now, it's that second of this series as well, gentleness, that we'll be overlooking just simply because we don't have the time to get to all of them. I will leave that to Brother Charles to be able to talk with you about on other occasions. And so in this lesson, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on patience. And we remember what the text says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And our concentration tonight is on the idea of patience. You know, in most cases, murder takes place because people are angry. And anger often stems from a lack of patience. I think this is actually Jesus' point in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. When in verse 21, He says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty." You see, it's not just the overt act, but it's the motives behind the act. It's actually the temperament or the temper behind the act that creates the problem as much as anything else. And that being the case, impenitence and anger are as old as man. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 23 that Lamech said, "I have killed a man for wounding me." And so his space was violated. Lamech's space was violated. Something happened, and because of that, he rose up and he killed him. Now, most of us understand, I think, the need for patience. It's the long checkout line at Walmart. And you kind of think, you know, they've got 50 different checkout lines here, 50 different registers, and only three of them are open. And you're thinking to yourself, why are people not opening up more of these registers? Or you go into a busy parking lot somewhere, and you happen to spy someone who is about to get in their car and pull out. And so you go up and you kind of sit behind them, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And you think to yourself, how long does it take to start a car? How long does it take for you to back out of that parking space? Now, I know, I can tell by the smiles on your face, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Getting stuck behind a slowpoke in traffic. And you think to yourself, can you pick up just a little bit of speed, please? When you're raising kids, I remember when our kids were small, and I would think, another dirty diaper, really? this quick? But it happens. It really does. And then when your kids get to be teenagers, you're asking, you did what? You did it again? How many times do I have to tell you? I had a friend by the name of Steve Cawthon. Some of you may know him, who preached up in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And Steve one time had a woman come out behind me. She may have moved and she's worshiping here with y'all. I don't know. But she came out the back door and she said, "Steve, I need a sermon on patience and I need it tonight." Well, maybe we've all been there, right? We know what that's about. So recognizing the need, let's turn our attention to patience, and let's begin by defining it. Our English word is related actually to a Latin word, patai, which really carries the concept of suffering behind it. It means to bear pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation. We never would have anybody provoke us, would we? Or it means not hasty or impetuous or steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Patience then seems to be that virtue that helps us keep things together when everything else around us is unraveling. And it helps us to keep ourselves from unraveling as well. Patience is there to help us. Now, the Greek word really mirrors our English right well because it means the state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. Patience, steadfastness, endurance. The state of being able to bear up under provocation, forbearance, patient toward others. You know, you have been in places where you have had a test of some sort and you're just waiting for the outcome of it, and you're just hoping that things will rush. You hope things will get going faster and that you'll hear quicker from what's going on, but it just seems like that they take forever. I was having a few issues back before the first of the year, back during December, started really right around Thanksgiving. I'd strained my oblique muscle in the side. And I went in to see a doctor on an emergency basis there, walk-in basis, and went in. And it's the same people that I always use for all of my internal medicine stuff. And I saw a PA on this particular day, and that was fine. But I told her what was going on, told her right where the pain was. And she said, "Well, let's do an ultrasound of your gallbladder. And then let's do maybe a HIDA scan." I don't even know what that is. And I'm sitting here thinking, "Lady, I can touch this. I know it's not my gallbladder." And then she said, "Since it's non-emergent, then what we'll do is we'll set you up for that HIDA scan in 2.5 weeks. I'm in pain. And I'm going to have to wait that long to get a simple test? Really? Well, sometimes we want things to happen a little bit quicker than what they do. The scriptures, in talking about patience, tells us that patience is an attribute of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says that God was patient in the days of Noah. The patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Can you imagine God from His throne in heaven looking down upon a wicked, evil, very violent environment and being patient? And waiting and waiting, maybe hoping that there would be some who might even change, hoping against hope. Of course, if the records are right, it could very easily be that Methuselah died actually in the year of the flood. It doesn't say that he died in the flood, but he would have died the year of the flood. And so there were other righteous people around, but only 8 were saved through the flood. We know about that: Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and all their wives. But God is waiting for 120 years, not just for the building of the ark, although I think that would have been a part of it, but also waiting for people. Waiting for people. God was patient with the nation of Israel. I really like the way Nehemiah presents this. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 beginning, he identifies Israel that they had become stubborn, and then said in verse 17, "But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them." Can you just imagine the patience of God with Israel in the wilderness? Even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt and committed great blasphemies. You, in your great compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness." He went on to say in verse 20, "You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell." And so as you read that, even though the word patience is not in there, the concept of patience is all over it. God was there every step of the way. And by the way, God's patient with us too. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God truly is very patient with us. And I'll tell you, if we reflect upon that, then we certainly are glad that He is. But now we do need to know three things about this patience, God's patience particularly. First of all, we need to consider that His patience is our salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." And that certainly is true because it's giving us time. God's patience is giving us time to make the changes that we need to make in our lives to make us fit subjects for eternal habitation with Him. And so He is loving and patient toward us in that regard. And it's the purpose of God in this patience to lead us to salvation. That's what Romans 2 and verse 4 says. "Or do you not think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" So God's tolerance and kindness and patience is there to bring us to a state where we acknowledge our sin and we turn from them in repentance. But then we also need to remember that God's patience doesn't endure forever. One day God's patience will end. It will wear out. I'm reminded of what happened with King Manasseh of Judah many years ago. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 24, in verse 3, the Bible says, "Surely at the command of the Lord it came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood which he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not forgive." Now, understand that this text doesn't say that the Lord wouldn't forgive Manasseh because Manasseh turned and repented and God actually forgave him. But here's the thing. God did not forgive Judah. They had done so much that had turned against him. God had determined that he was going to destroy them. He was going to take them away into Babylonian captivity. And he was not going to change his mind at this time. It was something that was as sealed as it could be. And the Bible tells us that even now God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man which He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And of course, this is Jesus Christ the righteous. Which means for me and you that one of these days, we're going to breathe life's last breath, or our heart is going to beat one last time, or one of these days we may hear a sound that is unmistakable as to what it is. And it's Jesus coming in the clouds of glory to receive His own unto Him. And that's going to be the last day. There will not be another. It will be over as far as time here is concerned. So we need to know that, yes, God is patient. God is patient with us, and that patience is for our salvation. It will lead us to our salvation. But one of these days, God's patience is going to run out. Quickly, let me point out also that patience is an attribute of our Lord Himself. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, talking about himself, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me," verse 12, "because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the love and faith which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life." Paul saw himself as an example of the patience of Jesus Christ. I had an older, well-known preacher several years ago. We were talking in one of those more reflective moments. And he he prefaced his statement by saying, Jim, I want you to know that I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist at all. And he said, I can't prove this by the Scriptures. I can't go to the Word of God and say what I'm about to say is true because I can't find a passage that's going to say it. But he said, I kind of believe that God will allow a man to live just long enough to determine what kind of man that he is going to be. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I have no idea, but I kind of like the concept because God is patient with us. He's as patient with us as he possibly can be, hoping that through Jesus Christ, things will work out for us. I can't guarantee that to be the case. In fact, some cases, it just seems like you just don't know it. But yet, that idea, that thought is there. Of course, there's patience in the Holy Spirit. After all, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. But then let's think about this. We also find a lot of righteous men of the Old Testament who were very patient people. I think of David, first of all. We see his dealings with Saul in the book of 1 Samuel. Saul had made several enraged attempts to kill David, and David had several opportunities to return the favor and to kill him in the cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi in 1 Samuel 24, and then again in the wilderness of Ziph on the hill of Hakalah in 1 Samuel chapter 26. David approached him, or he could have taken his life any moment. There were some who asked why he didn't, but he didn't. In both instances, though he could kill Saul, out of respect for the fact that Saul was Lord's anointed, David demonstrated true patience. He manifested forbearance under provocation or strain. Saul was trying to kill him, but he was patient toward Saul. Wasn't hasty or impetuous, steadfast, despite opposition, difficulty, and adversity. Just about every phrase or every thought that is included within the definition of patience we see in David. We've just finished a study of the minor prophets with the last Sunday of December. And as you look at the minor prophets, you see a great deal of patience. James alluded to the patience of the prophets in James chapter 5 and verse 10. When he says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. And surely they did. When you look at at those prophets, they were patient and filled with endurance in a couple of different ways. One of them that I think about is the fact that they would preach and they would preach and they would preach and preach like Jeremiah. Maybe in his case, he preached 40 years without seemingly a single convert. And yet he believed that God's word was still powerful, that it would do what God wanted it to do, and I'm certain it did. And yet he was so patient to continue to preach, even when people were trying to shut him up. People were trying to keep him from speaking. And then there were those, Haggai. You think about, actually, one I was thinking about is Hosea. You think about what happened in the life of Hosea and how that the elements of his life is reflecting the heart of God and how that took place over a period of what most certainly would have been years. But he was patiently doing the things that God told him to do, even though his family wouldn't listen and Israel wouldn't listen. It's kind of amazing, isn't it, that they had that kind of patience. And not only were they patient when they would preach to people and they wouldn't listen, but they were also patient because while they were preaching, they were persecuted. And in fact, Jesus uses this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, talking about the last of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. He continued in verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So they exercised patience while they were preaching and nobody was listening or heeding, and then they were even persecuted for what they were preaching. That seems to me a tremendous example of suffering and patience. And just the Old Testament worthies in general. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 6 and verse 11 said, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And when you read that, you need to think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those great Old Testament worthies who were very patient. Now, this quality of patience is something then that is going to be necessary for each and every one of us. If we want God to be patient with us, then we have to understand that we ourselves have to develop this principle of patience within us. I think this is illustrated in the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18, where in verse 32, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" His master had just released him of his debt. And then this man went out and asked him the same leniency. And he wasn't willing to give it. He wasn't willing to have patience with him that he might even be repaid, much less forgive him. And then this man's Lord was so moved with anger because of the way he had treated this slave that he handed him over to the torturers until he would have to repay all that was owed him. And then Jesus concluded that parable by saying, "My heavenly Father will also do the same for you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Now here's the point. You can at least have patience with other people. You, just as the Lord has patience with you, you can at least have patience with other people. Patience, of course, is necessary to maintaining the unity of the Spirit. When Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this, he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, there would be a lot to be said about this passage. In fact, one of the series that I have preached quite a bit has been toward the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and the attitudes and the actions that make all of that up. But without patience, the sins we commit against one another will quickly destroy the unity for which Christ died. And so we certainly have to be patient with one another as we're trying to preserve this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, without doubt. Patience especially needs to be exercised when you are teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul charged Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort." You know, we sometimes stop there. We will talk about the need to reprove and to rebuke and exhort, and we stop there. He said to do so with great patience and instruction. Why is such needed? Well, people are not going to arrive at the same conclusions quite as fast as I did. You know, here's the thing. I'll study something for weeks and months, sometimes for years, and then I'll get up and I'll preach. And then if we're not careful, we're going to expect somebody to accept what we say just the minute we say it, and all of a sudden things change, right? Wrong. I need to be able to give people at least as much time as I had as I was working through a difficult issue in order to be able to come arrive at the same conclusion that I did as we talk about these things. And that defines the word patience. And so that's why teachers and preachers need to have patience in what they do. In order to be useful for the master, prepared for every good work, and even to ensure God's patience toward us, we need, as preachers of the gospel and teachers of the gospel, to really develop the virtue of patience as we work with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with those in the community. Think about just for a moment the things that patience can provide for you, what it can do for you. It can, first of all, it can allow time for growth. Jesus struggled trying to teach his disciples greatness through service, and sometimes they were so slow to carry on, to catch on. Sometimes they didn't get it. It just didn't seem to sink in. And while they argued with one another over which one of them was going to be the greatest, Jesus washed their feet. What's he doing? Well, he's doing several things, but among them, he's exercising patience toward them. That's what he's doing. The character traits that the Lord wants to see in us are not developed overnight. You look at the list in Colossians chapter 3 of the things God wants us to put away and the things he wants to put on. And then you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, in a passage we sometimes have called the Christian virtues. You see all of these things that the Lord wants us to be. And our own text, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, these are just not developed the moment you walk out of the baptistry. You would want them to be. You want to be the very best person you can, the very best individual you can be, the very best version of yourself, but sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight. In matter of fact, it seldom happens overnight. And so it means that we have to take the time to be patient with one another. The Bible actually calls this the process of growth. Like newborn babes long for the milk of the word that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's what we're talking about. It's just that process of growth. When we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, growth takes time. So you've got to be patient with me and Charles as we grow. Sometimes, however, we think that just everybody has to be where we are spiritually at the moment we're there, and that's just not the case. And so we need to exercise patience. Patience does something else. Patience is considerate toward the weaknesses of others. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul said, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength." Now, not everything is classified as a weakness. I get that. I understand that. But surely there are some things that are. Some things that are classified as a weakness, and we need to bear with them when we see them in our brethren. When I see someone around me who is weak, then I need to bear with them first of all. Jesus considered the weakness of Simon Peter when he said to him, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again," he knew Peter was going to stumble, "when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." If someone you know falls away through weakness and needs you to help strengthen him, he's much more likely to receive you and the things that you say to him when you are patient with him and you tell him, "I'm praying for you." And that's what we are about. When you're patient with other people, it's going to attract people to your ear. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. People who are hurting are attracted to people who are patient because, generally speaking, patient people listen and patient people are compassionate. Thus, patient people become the kind of people that can help others in their weaknesses and help them bear their burdens. By being patient, you open yourself up to helping others and making yourself more useful in the kingdom of God. And another thing it'll do is it'll stop quick retaliation. We see this in the example of Jesus, who in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, who being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Watching television this very evening, I saw a story of road rage where someone was shot because someone else was angry. Well, I understand that a little bit, only the slightest bit, because as I was coming here tonight and I was, you know, just kind of traveling with flow of traffic, there was somebody in a red Cadillac, and if you are that person, you need to repent. There was somebody in a red Cadillac who come flying past me through three or four lanes of traffic, weaving in and out of traffic in front of me and absolutely everybody else. And I thought to a moment, he's lucky somebody doesn't express some road rage toward him. That's awful. And you think Houston may be the only place that happens, but no, it's happening all over the country. In fact, sometime the last of last year in Cullman, Alabama, there was a 71-year-old man followed a much younger man all the way through Coleman into another community and somehow or another pulled the boy over and shot him two or three times. He lived, but it was just a matter of road rage. Something had happened and he lost it. He became unraveled, and that's exactly what happened. Patient people don't do that kind of thing. Patient people don't do that kind of thing. There are certain times when we really do need to speak up, but we're always served well to make sure we know what we're talking about and be patient and cautious when we do. Be patient and cautious in all of our actions, and rather than figure out a way to blow off steam, it'd be better for people just to patiently endure just as Jesus did. Paul said, never pay back evil for evil for anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So, how do we develop it? Just a couple of things. We need to, first of all, develop a greater love for people. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul is categorizing the attitudes about love, the aspects of love, he says, love is patient. Love is patient. Unless we love those around us, even those who have wronged us, we will not have sufficient motivation to bear with them. Love is fundamental to bearing patiently with other people, with the weakness and the offenses of others. And by growing in love, when we really love other people, we can be patient. And then another thing about this is we need to spend a lot of time in prayer. Paul believed that prayer would help the Colossians in this regard. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, he said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience." So Paul felt, as he was praying for the Colossians, that God would grant them patience. And certainly the God who is patient will strengthen those who desire to be like Him. But then I want to issue a final warning, if I may. We need to be careful that we don't allow patience to turn into tolerance. These are two very distinct things. It is true that we must be patient with weak people, even those who are weak in sin. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, when he said, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." So we understand that we are to be patient with weak people. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, so that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. Yes, we need to be patient with people who are weak. Jude 21 through 23 teaches us that there are distinctions, though, that have to be made. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." And then he said, "Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." And so, different people call for different reactions. Different sins call for different reactions. Some cases are to be dealt with very compassionately, and others need a harsh snatch. Jesus dealt with people patiently. But then you look at Matthew chapter 23 and you can see just how hard that He could be on those who persisted in sin. And patience should never be used as an excuse for not doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or adulterer, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one." Now, the Lord said what He meant what He said. I don't have to do a lot of explaining of that. This is what He told the church at Corinth to do. Later in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Reject a factious man after the first and second warning." You can be patient with a factious man when he first begins to show his factiousness. But then there's a point in the time when you say, "Look, that's destructive to the body of Christ." You warn him again. And if he won't repent, then you reject him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, not according to the traditions which you receive from us." Now, you know, the problem is that I've seen in times past where people would say, "Well, we just need to be patient with Brother Joe or John or whatever you want to call him. Or we need to be patient with Sister so-and-so. After all, what she's doing, that's just who she is. That's just who she's always been all of her life." Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to love her like you ought to love her, or him, whichever the case may be, then you've got to confront their sin. You can't let that go on. Because if you do, what happens is your patience turns into tolerance. So I'm not calling on people to be impatient. I want you to be patient. But I am saying there needs to come, just like there's an end to God's patience, there's a time when ours need to meet its end and actions must be taken. God has certainly revealed himself to be a God of patience, as David wrote in this psalm, in Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And all of those who want to be his children, all of us who want to be led by the Spirit, must indeed come to be patient people. Our prayer should be the same as David's was in Psalm 86 and verse 11 when he said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in the truth." The way of the Lord is truly one involving patience, and it will be a quality evident in the lives of each and every person who's going to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And I hope it is exhibited in you to your life. In fact, I already know that it is, because you've been patient listening to me, and I'm thankful for that. I really, really appreciate it, because I need your patience. I just love teaching and preaching the gospel so much, and sometimes, you know, my tongue gets wrapped around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying, so it makes it kind of difficult for me. But here's the thing. All of this is about being a Christian, about living the Christian life the way God wants you to live. It's actually about bearing the image of Jesus Christ, being more and more Christ-like with every day that you live. There may be someone here this evening that has never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that there have probably been people who have been patiently waiting for you to make that decision. And we're still patient. But we're hoping, we really are, that you'll make that decision tonight. That you'll make the decision to obey Jesus Christ, give him your heart, and then walk with him all the days of your life. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, there's no better time to do that right now. If you have been baptized, but you haven't been the kind of person that you ought to be, perhaps you've been just a little bit too impatient, and it's seen by others that are around you. Maybe it'd be a good time to repent of that too. If we can help you in any way, won't you come to the front while together we stand and while we sing?